Welcome back to another episode of the Exterminatus Podcast, all things competitive in the world of Warhammer 40,000. My name's Eric. With me is my co-host, Ray.
Hello, everybody.
Jim is actually busy taping a session of Play on Tabletop, so you get to see not only his lovely face, but also see his army in action. Look for that episode on Play on Tabletop. And so we will be just the two of us this week, and we've got lots to talk about. We have had, obviously, a big controversy this week in competitive 40K. We have another installment of the fan favorite Big Names at Small Tournaments. We can talk a little bit about the new Bellicor release as some of the rules have leaked out online. And, of course, a revamp of your ITC Top 10 with all the big news that happened this past week from the tournament action. So let's dive right into it. For those of you who have not heard, there was a bit of impropriety in one of the tournaments that we covered last week. Short version, when you roll the dice behind terrain, you might want to have your opponent come around to take a look at it, or at least wait till they acknowledge that they've seen the dice roll before you pick them up. This particular player did not do so on multiple occasions, and also multiple occasions claimed that a unit had more wounds left than statistically not available to them. So in the end, it was, unfortunately, the game was completely caught on tape for streaming purposes, and several onlookers were watching the game the day after the tournament and said, hey, TOs, you might want to look at these particular dates and all these date stamps in terms of how this player was actually saying that he rolled sixes and fives when he actually rolled ones and twos. So, big deal. That's not news. We've talked about cheating in tournaments before. How's this big news? Well, the big news is how it was handled afterward. So one of the things that came up at the beginning of the season and was going to be one of our big topics, Ray and I had big plans for this when we talked about this, and then with COVID coming and pretty much derailing the season, it kind of went away. So now that the season's back underway, it seems like that new trend of regional tournament circuits is coming back. And so what is a regional tournament circuit? The short version is this. It's like the ITC. They still use the ITC-sanctioned points, and they're still using ITC-sanctioned events. But rather than seeing how well you do on a national level, for those of you who may not have bookmarked four or five trips across the country for multiple tournaments, you rather go to tournaments that are driving distance. You could be your regional champion by they just measure how many points you earn in those regional tournaments. We did similar to that in Arizona about 3 years ago, and we were going to do it again this year. Got, again, derailed by COVID. So now that we're starting to open up as a state, we'll be bringing back, we used to call it the Rattler Cup. And basically what that meant to us, if you played in any tournament here in our fine state, we added your points from the ITC to that particular tournament. Top player with the most points from Arizona tournaments was our state champion. Pretty simple. What made this particularly interesting is after this player was caught on red-handed, on tape, making false, how's the best way to describe it? Basically just lying about his die rolls. The regional groups swung immediately and basically said, here's the deal, dude. All our regional events, you're not going to play in them. You've been suspended for 30 days. The next time you attend one of our events, you automatically begin with a yellow card. And for this event you just attended, you get 0 points. It's pretty swift action. Interesting to see that. And you can see that with a, unless you are a player who's looking to travel outside of your local area, that can be detrimental. Where the big news comes from is the ITC themselves. 24 hours after the regional guys laid down the hammer, the ITC did the same. They simply said that he was now has a 60-day ban, I believe. I have to double-check that. But equally, he's been suspended from frontline gaming events. He, too, will also begin all frontline gaming events with a yellow card. And more importantly, all his ITC points year-to-date for this season have been nullified. He is now at 0 points. So we're going to take, as I said, a different approach to this. We understand cheating is bad. It's not good for the sport. It's a bad look for all of us. But interesting reactions in two different governing bodies for two very different thing, Ray. You and I both are players who don't get a lot of opportunity to travel for Warhammer purposes. So the idea of a regional tournament circuit, first of all, what do you think of the idea?
I love the idea. It's a good way for people to still have a chance to try to excel and, you know, win something that is, not, first off, not just at a single event, but it's also larger than just, you know, like, your store. And someone like me who can't really do much of any traveling, it's kind of perfect. Plus, if you're one of those people who don't like the idea of flying with your army, regional generally means it's going to be within driving distance, too.
I like the idea, too, because it's a great way, because it is a humongous leap to go from your local store champion to playing an LVO. And there's just no intermediate steps. And I think these regional ideas or regional championships are a great way of getting, especially as a newer player or even just a medium player who's trying to get up to the next level. That is a great way to play that. I know some of the guys in our league, I remember the first year we all went to LVO, the entire team came back with a losing record. And you know, I try to warn them, but no one would, you know, it was one of those, you don't know it till it happens to you. But the interesting thing is it kind of separated the men from the boys a little bit. The top players went on and they put the money and the effort in and they traveled to tournaments well out of range. And then, but they got that experience, you know, going to BAO, going to Las Vegas, the other Las Vegas tournament, the Gentlemen's GT, excuse me. So went to a lot more tournaments so they would build up some more experience. And now those guys are household names. And but yeah, if had there been a regional circuit, we would have been seeing a little bit more of that. And I think more players would have grown. So I think it's great as well. In terms of the punishment, justified at this point?
I think it kind of depends on which part of punishment you're talking about. First off, I'm going to kind of leave the fact of who it was and how many times they may have successful in cheating. And I kind of want to just start off with the idea of doing punishment, which first off, I got to say that, yes, that needs to, you can't just let someone get away with it. At the same time, you shouldn't ban the person. Now, in this case, they said a 30-day ban from anything in that region. I actually think for a first offense, the whole yellow card thing also makes perfect sense. You come back, you're on thin ice. You got a yellow card to start out with, okay? I think the idea of the greater ITC adding more time on it might not be the right move, because then what you start doing, you start having a snowball where everybody's gonna, like, add on to it. You might have the next group saying, oh, well, they're doing this and this, but we're also saying this too. To the point where at one point I heard something about him not the entire year. That might just be because months and stuff.
Interesting. Yeah, kind of bringing that up. I do like you start the next event with a yellow card. I do like that because, let's be honest, if I know a player of that reputation is coming to my event, I know I'm going to dedicate judging resources to monitor that person's behavior. That is going to be a drain on my resources as a tournament organizer. Also, you want to be upfront with that player and says, look, you're going to be watched. I had a similar situation at one of my tournaments. There was a player of such reputation, but back then we didn't really talk with each other outside of the tournament circuit. So the player kind of was blindsided. It's like, what's going on here? And this way, it's pretty transparent, as opposed to, you know, what you got caught doing this, and this is what we're doing. And so now you're on your best behavior, or you've already got a penalty. That penalty system was in place at the time, so it's kind of, you know, we've come a long way. So I think it's a great way to, you know, puts both us as the TOs knowing this is something we need to watch for, but also the player know you're on watch. In terms of suspension, I get, yeah, for a first offense, like I said, I don't know what this guy's history is. I've seen several other news outlets say he's, you know, everything from he's a great guy to this is typical shady behavior of him. I have no idea. The point is, this is the first time he's been caught. And so you go by that. So I agree, maybe the suspension was a bit much. Comparing it to other sports-related suspensions and penalties, it's pretty close. So, for example, I keep saying NASCAR is probably the closest sport to 40K in terms of setup and financial setup. And, for example, one of the things they do a lot of, there's a lot of post-race inspections. And a lot of times you find out the day after the race that players may have had illegal things done. So just like we find out that on Monday morning, oh, that guy was playing with the illegal list. Some drivers, they made illegal modifications to the car midway through the race. Or they, you know, they cut corners, for example, or they put in all, didn't put all the lug nuts in to have a quicker pit stop. Generally, what does that mean? They zero out the points for that particular event. Absolutely. They also usually tack on a penalty to how many points they've earned during the season. For example, a race, a win in NASCAR is worth 50 points. They may say you lost all your points for this race and you're going to take another 30-point deduction from your season total. So that seems to be more. So when I heard that they zeroed out all his events, this is somebody who had gotten 6 events in already. It's pretty harsh, but I guess they're trying to send a strong message that we're not going to take this anymore.
Yeah. Personally, I think something along the lines of a complete loss of points throughout the entire season should be something along the lines of a second offense. I mean, for a first offense, yeah, definitely the points for that match. But yeah, no, the second offense for all the points.
So it was pretty staggering. And it's just interesting where and when in the season does that happen. Because he still has, we're mid-April right now. So we still have quite a bit, probably quite a few months left. So they can easily make up those scores at this point. Even with this 30-day suspension. So it's kind of, you know, if that happened in, say, November, boy, you're in a whole lot of trouble.
Yeah. But depending on where he wants to go for an event, he's got longer than 30 days.
That's true. So the thing that blows my mind with this, though, is not so much that the regional guys stepped up. We've seen this in the past. We've seen the TOs having to bear the brunt of, you know, we missed this somehow during the event, and we were acting retroactively onto an offense and coming back on this. And, you know, it's one of those always, you know, some players saw that player didn't do great, but then there's always a lot of grief sent at the TOs. Why didn't you catch this? You know, why isn't this going on? The thing that blows my mind on this one is the ITC's involvement. This is the first time I've ever seen them take a stance on this other than we are not the governing body of 40K. So I'm really curious what changed. Where did they decide to flip their brand and come out and swinging like this and nullify this guy's points?
I honestly think it would have to do with his placement in ITC tournament circuit itself.
So you think if he was, you know, somewhere at 300th place, they wouldn't have touched it?
Yeah.
Interesting. That's an interesting point. Okay.
I mean, instead, where was he at last week before all this happened?
I believe he was in the top 10. I think he was in 10th place, maybe even higher. I have to look at it again. He's been consistently in the top 10 all season. I know that.
Yeah, I think in a way that they're trying to say, hey, if you're in the top 10 and you do this, then the stakes are even higher. Which I'm not always one to say, hey, they're in the top 10, you need to have the stakes higher. But at the same time, I can definitely see that point of view.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, I've heard it a couple times. You know, they're ambassadors of the game when they're that high up. And so that's interesting. So, but it just, I guess there's been plenty of offenses previous this season alone, much less previous seasons. And I'm just shocked that they would actually, that they actually came through on something. So,
well, you know, there's a first time for everything. And of course, in this case, it's been long enough that the first time would draw people's attention.
Yeah. I apologize before. I finally found the official notice from Frontline Gaming and the ITC. So I was going to read. So it says, an attendee of the Fabricator Forge April GT was filmed conducting themselves in a manner violating the rules of Warhammer 40,000 and the ITC Code of Conduct. In the addition to the video evidence of this misconduct, these actions were confirmed by the event tournament organizers. Upon discussing the tournament organizers' review of the video and discussion amongst the community of ITC tournament organizers, administrative action was taken. In addition to the actions taken by the event organizer and the regional coalition of event organizers, the player in question's ITC points for the season to date have been removed and will receive no score for any events they play in for the rest of the 2021 season. Any ITC participating event organizers are free to admit this player to their events or not at their discretion, but the player in question will gain no ITC points for said events. So I was wrong. I thought it was just a lengthier suspension there. So he's not going to be able to earn any points for the rest of the season. So I think that's, again, very strong message going out the gate. It's just interesting that I guess the only difference is maybe because this guy was caught on tape. And so there's physical evidence.
That, I mean, if, if nothing else, it certainly helps the case of anybody who claimed cheating. That's not always something that can be done. I think another thing, too, is just the apparent intent behind it as well, because for some of what they said was happening, you can't just claim as ignorance on the part of the player. It's not like you accidentally just picked up a 2 as if it had been like a 3+. It was a little bit more extensive than that.
True. If you haven't listened to Jim's other podcast, no, he's not leaving the show. He just has another very different content podcast called Best Overall. So check it out every week. And he actually hit it on the head pretty well. It doesn't matter whether you intend it or not. It's still a violation of the rules. And similar to, both of us play hockey. He mentioned, I didn't intend to slash the player, but it's still a penalty if I strike him with the stick. So I still receive a 2-minute penalty for slashing. And trust me, happens to me enough times. A player decides to, deke to the one direction and didn't think it was going that way. My stick comes down on his shoulder instead of what should have been his stick. So slashing.
I will say that in some regards, I don't think you can equate every situation in every way to a sport. I think a good instance of, especially if it's something like accidentally picking up an extra dice, that's not the same as slashing. Probably be more along the lines of like accidentally tripping a player.
True.
You can accidentally trip. And most sports don't like that.
I think there's still penalties for that, but also there's also degrees of penalties. So we'll talk about there's the accident. Like there's actually a penalty on, was watching a game today, boarding. You're hitting a player when they're square facing the boards. There's the 2-minute variety where you're like, he turned at the last second. I couldn't stop in time. I slammed into him. Might have been accidental versus what this player did in this way. You just, just crushed the guy into the boards and he got a 5-minute penalty for it, which is detrimental. There's the degree of the penalty. Yeah, picking up one die one time. Hey, that was a 2, not a 3. You only hit on 3s. Oh, crap. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. Does that player deserve a 30-day suspension? No. But in this particular case, and one of Jim's guests hit it also on the head, there was a very cold, calculating callousness to how many times it was done. That makes you really wonder, how many more times has he done this and just gotten away with it?
Yeah, and I'm not in any way trying to condone or trying to underplay what happened. I'm speaking from a more broad perspective, which isn't just this person, but when it happens to anybody. Could be, brand new player at his first tournament kind of a thing.
True. Yeah, it could be. So, yeah, just play more discuss in terms of, what infractions are more serious than others, something like, getting a rule wrong in your codex versus, or doing a stat wrong. Oh, I thought he was, thought he was T7 or T8. He turns out to be only T7 and that cost the game type thing. It's another thing too. I don't know. To me, messing around with the dice you know what you're doing there. So, but nonetheless, very interesting to see how these it's all played out. So between a regional body coming in and stepping up in terms of monitoring the situation, but also you having the ITC come in, which is pretty wild and crazy. So some discussion just behind the scenes we had with our own TO group is do we as tournament organizers need to increase the judge to player ratio, for example, to prevent this from happening? Do we need more cameras on tables? That sort of thing. It's all, added expenses, but is that what's going to take to help ensure to the players that they're going to have a good experience? So it was a, interesting week, and seeing how that played out was key, the topic of the week. And we'll see how that continues to roll out. Also like to see as the regional tournaments continue to grow, we'll start reporting on some of those, who the current leaders are in each of those regions. So looking forward to covering that.
Are you a gamer that has more bare plastic than you have time to paint? Do paintbrushes spontaneously combust when you hold them?
If either of these is true, contact White Crow Studios and get your models painted by a college-trained professional painter. You can contact Bo at whitecrow.commissions@gmail.com and view his previously painted models at White Crow Studios on Facebook.
In the meantime, there were several tournaments this past weekend, and there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 11 that we'd like to draw your attention to, as they featured some big names in the tournament in a segment we'd like to call Big Names at a Small Tournament. So first stop is Sacramento, California, to the very cleverly titled 40K RTT. And figures Michael Timpe coming in third place with Necrons. He was a top Necron player last year. And Bellingham, yeah, I can read my own handwriting. There we go. Bellingham, Washington. The Battle of the Tower in first place with Gareth Hunt with Orcs. I don't remember Gareth ever playing with Orcs before, but nice to see him back on the tournament circuit. He was one of the top players from many years ago. Took some time off away from the hobby to serve our country. So thank you for your service there, Gareth, and glad to see you back on the tournament circuit. Next up is Draper, Utah. We have the Paragon City, and everyone's favorite Orc player, Rich Gilton, was able to nail down a third-place finish. We then head up to Bismarck, North Dakota. Yeah, I didn't know they played 40K in Bismarck, North Dakota, but why not? For the Bismarck Two Rivers RTT, and in first place with Kyle Thompson of Goonhammer fame. But interesting enough, he actually won with an Asuriani list. That's right, folks. Craftworld Eldar take first place. Our next event goes to Houston, Texas for the Dragon Slayer Monthly. And friend of the show, Colin McDay, takes first place there with Harlequins. Then we go back up north again to Osseo, Minnesota, to the Spring Down RTT. Also from Goonhammer, James Keeling comes in first with Jukari. And Jeremiah Pettit with Custodes comes in fourth. One of my favorite names so far this week, the Geekery April 2K in Shawnee, Kansas. Friend of the show, Tony Thibault, comes in fourth place with his Necrons. Then we head down to Tampa, Florida. Here's an interesting event of there at the Onslaught 2K. First place with Jeff Beery with Jukari. And second place, David Uzawa with Space Wolves. It's nice to see Space Wolves that high up on the list. See if it's enough to keep David in the top 10. And our last event here is the Bold City Slap Fight, another great name. Second place went to Mark Perry featuring Chaos. And fourth place, John Lennon playing Knights of All lists. And I actually double-checked his list. It is actually an entirely a Imperial Knight list. Yeah, I was pretty impressed. So I don't know what I'm more impressed about, that John Lennon switched over the Knights, or the fact that even with John Lennon playing the game, he can only get fourth place with Knights. So yeah, it was, I think, two Questaris, two big Knights, and a whole bunch of Halberns. So it's a pretty neat list. So other previews this week, we saw the Mighty Bellicor, both leaked and unleaked. There were a couple things on the Warhammer community page. All right, if you have that handy.
Give me a second. I'd say it was like six different things for him. It's like finding the one that actually has the rules.
He's a popular guy. He's a popular guy.
Of course, there's the fact that, you know, he's out. He's for both games.
All right, I found it.
All right, I got it.
Okay.
All right, so let's see. Where do we want to start with the new rules? Well, let's start to the new stats. Well, his movements changed to where it degrades from 12 inches to 8 inches to 6. His strength degrades. It is now 8, then 7, then 6. His toughness is now 7. He's gone to 16 wounds, so he's basically the same in many ways as a greater demon like a Lord of Change, Granic-like. His attacks degrade 6-5. His save has gone from a 4+ to a 6+, and he's got his Blade of Shadows, which now works in two different forms. There's the Sweeping Strike, which has the following. It is, of course, range melee, type melee, strength user, so again, 8, 7, 6, depending on wounds. AP minus 3 and damage 1. Each time an attack is made with this weapon profile, you make two hit rolls instead of one. So really, if you're using the Sweeping Strike, you're not going 6-5-4, you're going 12-10-8. The other attack form is the Piercing Strike, which is, again, range and type melee. Strength plus 6, AP minus 4, and the damage is D3 plus 3. And each time an attack is made with this weapon, invulns cannot be made against this attack. So this is your vehicle and character killer attack, right?
Yeah, I think when your strength 8, and it was a plus 4 for the sword, and your strength 12. I'm like, oh!
Yeah. And it's also important to note, that while his armor save has gone to a 6+, he does have a 4+ invul, with the added caveat that each time a ranged attack is made against the model, you subtract 1 from the attacks. And he's got Shadow Form, which is each time an attack is made against this model, your opponent cannot reroll the hit. Each time an attack is made against this unit, you also subtract from that attack's hit roll. So, let's say you've got something shooting at it. You're at -1 to hit and -1.
Which is pretty gross when you think about it. That even, because actually, think about it, if your buddy brings Bellicor, attack your Bellicor. So 7 on, strength 12 against your toughness 7, you're still only wounding him on 4s, right? Yeah, it's normally wounding on 3s, then -1, yeah, make it 4s.
And you can't reroll to
hit. Yep, no rerolls to hit, and you're also -1 hit, so hitting on 3s. That is pretty vicious.
But as of right now, also good luck getting a hold of one, because the way I've heard it, the stores are only getting 2 in, and their website got sold out pretty quick on Satters.
Yeah, it's been kind of a recurring trend that they cannot meet customer demand at this point. So just very frustrating, glad to see the hobby is healthy, or also curious to see where they are with production. Hopefully they can catch up sooner or later. So, but this thing is brutal. We haven't seen the points value yet, how much it costs there, but I have a feeling he's going to go up from his previous 220 points.
I think we'll see, probably see him hang out in the same kind of range as what we see with the Greater Demons, which I think is what, mid-300s?
Yeah, so my bet, probably close to 380. I think that's what Bellicor is going to come in at.
I could see that.
But, I mean, he's just a beat stick. I mean, holy cow. So, this amazing, and just, it was an intimidating picture on the tabletop. Just, this gargantuan model on the top there with those big wings. It's pretty amazing to look at.
Yeah. Well, so much better than the metal model that's been out. That model's a little underwhelming.
It was very underwhelming. I refused to buy it. I used a proxy. It was terrible. Yeah, this thing is just absolutely amazing. Which kind of goes back to, I'm like, okay, that's amazing. The Bloodthirst is amazing. The new Keeper's Secrets is amazing. Avatar of Kane? Any upgrades? Any changes? Maybe. Maybe not. Who knows? Probably says they might keep them all that same size just because the Incarnates is that smaller size too. Maybe that's their shtick. That the Eldar avatars are not full Greater Demons.
I don't know. I mean, halfway decent comparison is the Satan. I was just telling you before we started recording that the plastic Void Dragon is really roughly about the same size. If you just get down to the body itself, it's roughly the same size as the resin ones. So we may not see a change of scale for those models.
That's a good point. Yeah, when you told me that, I was really surprised, because when you look at the Void Dragon, he looks huge. And but I remember seeing some conversions where they took Nightbringer and they converted him to be Sanguinius. It's like, how did that happen? And you put the models next to each other, you realize that the top half of Nightbringer is actually the same size as the Space Marine. I was like, oh, look at that. So maybe there is something to that. But interesting to see. Also curious to see what is, how far down the line is a Chaos Demons Codex at this point. We know for sure AdMech is en route. We're assuming Sisters of Battles is probably right after it. So maybe Chaos Demons is right after them. Who knows? Still a lot to go on that.
Yeah, this is just pure speculation, but it seems like they're trying to keep AOS product coming out in a timely manner. A lot of people think that that's because we're going to see the next edition less in summertime. And of course, it doesn't make much sense for them to come out with a model that's going to come out that would exist for both games. It wouldn't make sense for them to not have the rules pop up for the model in both ranges. So I think it's safe to say that this week the Bellicor is coming out. They probably meant for Chaos Demons to be coming out roughly the same time, you know, within like a week or two of each other. So we could be seeing that come very soon. Drakari just came out a couple weeks ago, and they were originally slated for January.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, they were pretty far behind already. And you're right that if the rumors are true, when AOS 3.0 is supposed to come out, that's kind of a hard deadline. You know, that's not something they can hold back too long. So they might be rushing the AOS stuff out. So there you go. The flaming Melthasword of Bellicor coming to a tabletop near you, if you can get your hands on the model. All right. Let's take a look at your ITC top 10. After all the turmoil that happened this past week, there were actually some games played, and some of the players we talked about earlier in the show actually made some bold moves in the positive direction into the ITC top 10. Starting in 10th place, Patrick Wiley sneaks his way back into the top 10 with 630 points. Evan Tomchin in 9th place. 8th place, Stephen Henry IV. 7th place, Sean Rodriguez. And 6th place, Jeremiah Pettit. In 5th place, Nicholas Wenker. In 3rd place, Colin Kay. 2nd place, Mate Cesar. And in 1st place, Ryan Snyder with 872 points. Now, there's going to be a lot of movement over the next few weeks for a bunch of reasons, but the biggest one, Ryan is the only player in the top 10 with 6 events. Everybody else has, actually, 3 of the players have 5 events. That'd be 2nd place Monte Caesar and Colin Kay, as well as 6th place Jeremiah Pettit. They've played 5 events, and everyone else has only played 4 events. So even small RTTs, I'll have to double check if they backs up the RTT total already. But basically, the next event that's scoring for them would be just added points. So somebody, for example, like Mark Esch, who's in 4th place there, he's at 677, wouldn't take a whole lot of points, a decent showing at a GT or major, and he could easily pop into 1st place. So lots of movement there. Some big names we've mentioned in the show previously, just lurking behind in the 11 through 20 range. So be curious to see. And some up-and-coming names we're also seeing kind of take advantage of the COVID sleepiness of some parts of the area, able to take advantage of where they can get to play. So lots to watch still as the season begins to unfold. And there we go. I forgot to look at the Warhammer community page. Do we have any major previews this week?
No. No, and the big thing that we got today was an announcement that the pre-order schedule is changing, which is basically them just saying that, hey, there's not really going to be anything for the next couple weeks all after some of the on-demand Horus Heresy books, because some of the stuff kind of goes out of print when it comes to kind of the larger format books. Those are going up and on demand. That's it.
That's a little troubling, actually, to hear that.
Well, I think I remember something about a large portion of England being under lockdown. So this is probably just that lockdown coming into actually gets affected, because there's always a certain amount of time between when this stuff gets to, because at least it's how they say it. They say that all the plastic models are produced, whereas the codexes and stuff, at least that's how I've always been given to understand it. Well, with them being on lockdown for a few weeks, it's going to take some time, but sooner or later that affects what we can buy. Well, so there may be a lag time of a week or 2 months, but in this case, now is the time. Us in America products, now we're getting to experience that, because when they were on lockdown, they couldn't go to work. It's not like here where some people they basically couldn't visit people unless they were within like a certain family unit kind of.
Right. Yeah, you probably need a certain number of people to be able to work the factory, and that minimum isn't reached, then they really can't get a whole lot done. But so I'll be curious to see. Again, they've got a lot of catching up to do, and be curious to see how they can handle that. So that'd be very interesting to see all that kind of work its way through. So unfortunate, but I think light is at the end of the tunnel at this point. So Let's be try to be patient as this all comes through. So speaking of patience, probably a lot of you are wondering, hey, Eric, weren't you supposed to be like on stream today playing some sort of game? Yes, I was. I do apologize. We had to postpone until next week. I got pretty deathly ill yesterday. I'm not sure what exactly happened. I think something I ate, but I was rocking a 100-plus degree fever and pretty much slept all day. So let the opponent and the organizer know, and they said, let's just play it safe, and we will reschedule for next weekend. So next week's show, we'll have a full rundown on how I got my butt kicked. I mean, how the game went, and see how that goes. That means still plenty of time for you guys to log on next week and harass me in chat, or at least give some hints of what I should be doing better. And also plenty of times to fill out your bracket, because we're doing a little bracketology for the whole event. And it'll also be a good practice for, because most of my teammates are using this as practice for the Dallas GT, which is the next major grand tournament coming up on the ITC circuit. So looking forward to that. Ray, any parting thoughts before we close out the show?
I would just remind everybody that while things are starting to get back to a kind of people are getting their COVID vaccines, that even if you get a vaccine, there is still a chance that you can catch it and get sick. So please be careful.
Sound advice. So in the meantime, we should have Jim back next week. And look for additional updates on our Facebook page. Until then, my name's Eric.
I'm Raymond.
And thank you for listening to the Exterminatus podcast.